There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Back in the saddle again. Another quality Aerosmith song. And good to be here. Big thank you to everybody filling in for me over the days that I've been out. Dalton and Leanna and Dan's help, and of course Michael Yaffe filling in. Even my buddy Cameron Smith filling in, who's going to join us here in just a second. As I was doing the Omicron thing, and I am, I'm going to say with this, you know, it hits different people different ways, obviously. God forbid that we're individuals out there. Sick for like 2 days, like a lingering cough and all that kind of stuff, but negative now from the Omicron. And I was just telling Cameron, we'll talk about it in a second, I feel extremely blessed because I roll into Mardi Gras. I roll into Mardi Gras with all the antibodies, like a whole croaker sack full of antibodies. So I'm feeling great about that. So that's good. Thank you for those who helped out while I was gone. I guess my life has been ripped from today's headlines. So I had the Omicron thing. And then I guess it's gotten very popular. Leanna was telling me because she followed us out there as Mobile Police Department came out to fill out a report on the FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Command Unit. Went to crank it up today. Go put a little diesel fuel in it. Get ready for a remote at the battleship. And realize somebody else out there, some needy family in our area, needed a catalytic converter more than we did. They needed, you know, and the family was just couldn't get by without a catalytic converter. And tough times had hit that family, so they came and got the catalytic converter, I'm sure, to put on their own vehicle. Took it off our gigantic van with the mobile studio and put it on their own vehicle. So God bless that family. But thanks, MPD, putting out the report, and you can see more of that on the Facebook page out there. And then those of you while I was gone to get the Facebook friend request from me, that was not me. So yeah, so let me talk to my buddy Cameron, AL.com and the Triptych Foundation. That's like a trifecta ripped from today's headlines. COVID, catalytic converter, Facebook hack, all that good stuff.
Yeah, Sean, that's really strong. But man, if you can pass out antibodies like beads at Mardi Gras, that would make you real popular.
I am looking for, and if y'all are listening, bead creators here locally, you're not the ones that come in bulk from China, if you can get them, but could you make a set of beads that had the, you know, the COVID, the graphic they use anytime you have a COVID-19 story, coronavirus story, that graphic of what it's supposed to look like?
Yeah, the one with like little spikes on it.
Correct. Can you imagine if we could get beads that had that all in it, that the shape of the beads was the coronavirus little, you know, symbol there, had that, and maybe some big beads with big coronavirus things, some small ones, something like that to throw?
Yeah, and just pass them around, just like the actual coronavirus. It'll be great.
It's gonna be awesome. We're ready. We're busting at the seams for Mardi Gras down here. That is for sure. All right, lots to talk about with you as we get rolling. All those things in the rear view. Let's talk some Durham investigation, Durham report. I think from here on out, I'm actually going to go by Tech Executive One or Radio Executive One. That's one of the redacted names in this Durham report. What's your take here? I mean, the easy thing, I could sit here and we could say the mainstream media is not covering it. Okay, that's true. But let's not worry about them. Let's cover it. What have you filtered out of this Durham report and the allegations?
So this was based on a filing, and I've looked at it and tried to kind of decipher what was going on. There was a government contract to basically analyze data around the White House and executive office complex to see about basically Russian cyber attacks, right?
Mm-hmm.
This was what was designed to be investigated, and the data in question was during the Obama administration, actually. And the sort of wrinkle here is, well, did someone related to the Clinton campaign try to leverage data, and this is where the spying allegation comes in, trying to tie Trump to the Russians by looking at data through this contractor. There's a lot of different steps here. And my takeaway is, hey, this is certainly something to look at, and we want to know more. But this, you know, the automatic conclusion of Trump was right, he was spied on, the Clintons were, you know, using these tech people to, or big tech, Mo Brooks said this, big tech was, you know, there spying on, I don't know if I'd go that far just yet, because that's not what the Durham filing actually alleges. This is more, we kind of need more information here.
Well, it says it's specifically, right, the filing coming in Durham's prosecution against Michael Sussman, attorney who represented Joff, or however you pronounce it. You pronounce it Joff, or Joffe, or
whatever,
Joff.
I don't know.
Joff, and had worked behalf, who represented Joff and worked on behalf of the Democrats in Hillary Clinton's 2016 campaign for a single count of making false statements to the FBI's general counsel. You know, this may be nothing but a one false statement, but I will say this, I do smell a little bit of smoke, because how many times have we seen there's one false statement made and then the FBI starts to unravel the whole backlash from that one false statement?
Sure, and I think the allegation versus Sussman is he was not forthcoming about his work with the Clinton campaign. And that's what's driving all of this. And I think, again, this is a, and I know in our media cycle, it's the first one to jump on a hot mic and say, Trump was spied on, or he wasn't, or this or that, or this is a nothing burger. This seems, like you say, I mean, it certainly doesn't look good, and it looks like there was some access to data. The question is, was the access to data while Trump was in office, and, you know, was there a concerted effort to actually mine that data to essentially try to prove a connection between the Russians and the Trump administration?
You know, it looks like this has fallen flat at least once in the past. Now we'll see if it falls flat again. I would like to see, and this is actually in this case nonpartisan, if this is done, I'd like to see this fully investigated and prosecuted as a way to at least temper. I don't expect politics to be something that's not, but to temper some of this stuff that gets thrown out, like October surprises or long-term disinformation campaigns. Make it at least have a cost. If you're gonna do this and make something up, at least you sweat a little bit when you do it.
Yeah, and I think the big thing here to remember is that Russia is not a good actor. I'm going to say that on a loop. Russia does do misinformation campaigns. Russia does try to mess with our systems. It does. Russia is not a good actor. But the issue here is not whether Russia is a good actor or not. It's whether the former president of the United States coordinated with them to impact the outcome of an election. That is a much different matter. And I don't think that we've seen evidence that that's the case. But that doesn't discount that Russia did mess with a lot of things and continues to do so and try to do so. And we should remember that. But that doesn't mean that Trump or anybody else is coordinating with them on the American side. That's the big difference.
Yeah, it's the nuance and subtlety lost in a news cycle, for sure. But I'm going to keep my eyes. I still think I smell some smoke on this one. We'll see what comes of it. And here, check out my segue. Here you go. Here's my pivot. So you think about this, the Russian allegations, then Clintonite Jake Sullivan being involved in it. Now you've got Jake Sullivan holding press conferences talking about Russia. How do I trust that his call now on Russia, you know, now that he's national security advisor, is any more cogent than what they were saying during the campaigns?
That's like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon or something like that. I mean, the Ukraine situation, Sean, is something we need to take very seriously. I think President Biden was right when he said, hey, Americans, let's not pretend this wouldn't be a painful situation for us, even if we don't necessarily have American troops on the ground. This is a tough one, because we don't really have an appetite for a world war with Russia, but you've got an authoritarian, anti-Western type leader who's basically saying, well, I'm putting massive numbers of troops around this sovereign country. I'm going to potentially invade it violently. And the question is, well, what does NATO and what does America do about that? Or do we just say, hey, we don't have enough big enough dog in the fight, so we're going to just do some sanctions, which, frankly, you're a billionaire autocrat, and this doesn't hurt you directly. It just hurts the people of Russia. What's our game plan beyond that? And I haven't had much clarity on that from the Biden administration.
Yeah, you know, a lot of the discussion, too, is there a, you know, tail wagging the dog situation going on here? Because, I mean, we have information that it's, you know, here comes the administration says, hey, the Russians are getting ready to do a false flag, event, and then provides no proof of that. You just have to take their word on it. But there's, oh, yeah, we got information they're going to false flag this thing. Could be a false flag about a false flag, you know, in today's world. And then you turn around and go, if you want to take it just straight politically, would a war be something to get people's minds off, you know, to rally around the president? Would it be, would something that heartless happen that we would go into a war just to protect politics? I mean, it's not the first time it's happened.
No, it's not. But I also don't think Americans right now are saying, hey, let's go start a world war. And I think that's the tough one is, well, what can we do? Do we have an interest in saying, hey, we are not going to allow bullies around the world to just invade other sovereign nations? I mean, is that something we care about or not? Obviously, we can do the sanctions route. But as I mentioned, that isn't super helpful. The real issue here is this is not just a Russia-U.S. type thing. This is a Western versus anti-Western. I mean, that's what's here. We see the emerging powers. Let's not kid ourselves. Russia and China are very much aligned in their worldview, and the West is very opposed to that. And that's an emerging reality that we're going to have to contend with, not just here and with respect to Ukraine, but for decades to come. And I think what's happening here is those two power poles are feeling each other out by saying, well, how much wiggle room do we have to operate here?
You know, I wonder, as the Eastern Bloc is gone, even though I believe that, you know, Vladimir is wanting to put the band back together. Obviously, I've been saying that for years and years and years, trying to put the old Soviet Union back together. But let's look at a poor player of NATO, Germany here. And I wonder if geography and energy is, you know, Germany has been so slow to move on supporting the other NATO powers in this. Do you have a situation where because of oil, because of natural gas and proximity, that you start having quasi members of NATO? Sure, they're maybe, I don't know what we would have the acronym, NATO in name only, that they would be in the group, but they're really aligned with Russia because of energy interest and geography.
Yeah, with the ninos.
Yeah,
I think that you're onto something, that folks look at their sovereign interest before sort of the broader allyships and things like that. But there's also obligations under NATO that nations either have to honor or they're not going to be a part of NATO going forward. And I think Germany knows that. They're trying to, you know, slow walk it a little bit. But the real challenge here is you've got somebody in Putin that very much has dreams of empire, who's very much saying, well, it doesn't have to be the USSR, but something akin to that, where Russia emerges again as a significant global power. Russia is not China. That's what we need to remember. A lot of us who, you know, were born in the 70s and 80s kind of remember Cold War and that sort of stuff, where there were two geopolitical powers and it was Russia and the United States. Right now, it's Russia or it's China and the United States. Russia is very much economically a lesser power player. And so Putin is saying, well, maybe I can flex here a little bit and up our stature on the global stage.
And there he is, Cameron Smith, AL.com and the Triptych Foundation. Remind folks they want to read about what you write over at AL.com or your musings, minute in and minute out. How do they find you?
Go to AL.com/opinion. Look for Cameron Smith, and then also at @dcameronsmith on Twitter. And as always, I love to join the conversation.
All right, man. Talk to you next week. Thanks.
Thanks, Sean.
There he is, Cameron Smith, and we're coming right back. More of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1224, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Check in with my buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. You've heard the axiom, you know, an ounce of prevention's better than a, like, 55 pounds of cure. But if somebody, Angelo, has messed this up and they missed Valentine's Day, right? Maybe they had COVID, who knows? And you're looking to, it's going to cost you more, but give us some options. What's happening at the shop right now?
We still have a couple of those Snoopy Valentine's Day coins left. Those are really cute and fun. A lot of people were buying those for Valentine's Day. Lots and lots of jewelry as well. Depending on how bad you messed up, we have everything up to some 2.25-carat diamonds in stock. Hopefully you didn't mess up that badly, but if you did, we're here to help you out.
What about precious metals? What's gold looking like, silver looking like this week?
Gold and silver are starting to run up a little bit with all the excitement going on overseas, and so people are taking a real harder look at that idea of getting into precious metals as a hedge. A lot of people tend to procrastinate. We know about that, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
And people are looking at these prices spike up a little bit and go, hey, maybe I better make that move now. So we've had a lot of folks coming in, calling us, wanting to know the story about gold and silver.
All right. Well, tell folks about y'all's show and then how to find you in person and online.
Yeah, we're Two Guys and Some Change every Tuesday night on FM Talk 106.5. If you happen to miss it, well, shame on you. But you can always go to twoguysandsomechange.com and listen to the old radio shows there, old podcasts. If you want to find us in the real world, 2204 Government Street right here in Midtown, MobileBayCoins.com, or like and follow us on Facebook or on Instagram.
Thank you, Angelo.
Have a good one, sir.
You too. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. By the way, with what we were talking about, a couple things. Number one, so Psaki's on press conference about Ukraine. We'll get to that in a second. What was it? Devin in the news report talking about the gas prices and inflation. It's just transitory, y'all. It's just transitory inflation. What was it? Krugman saying that? It's just transitory. Okay. Well, it's transiting on up. That's for sure. And yeah, the world energy markets will react and have already reacted to the questions about Russia and Ukraine. And right now, the White House is saying that it's, that they're not, that Russia's saying they're not going to invade now, which that keeps changing. That story goes back and forth. And the White House is saying, well, maybe they don't buy it. It keeps going, because there's a story out that said, Russia said, we pulled back, I don't know how many troops, we pulled back troops from the line there at Ukraine. And then observers in theater are saying, no, they haven't. I mean, so you say here that they say they did, they say they didn't. I said it when I was on with Dan earlier this week. If Russia does roll across, I think what we're going to see is segmented parts of Ukraine being taken. Obviously, the Russophiles and the Russian-friendly areas of Ukraine that are closer, they're going to take first, and I think they're going to sue for a deal. In other words, if Russia comes in, they're going to move in, take a certain area, and then go, okay, Kiev, all right, Zelensky, we want this, and these deals. And I think they're going to push for basically, there could be a government, a Ukraine government in place, but the Russians will do their deals with those, what they'll call autonomous regions, that'll then become like federated states, like the Soviet Union used to be. And so there'll be, you know, we're only taking this area, okay, and then that's going to be like a state of a former Soviet Union, and then they'll take some more. They'll leave the Ukraine government in place, but it will genuflect to Vladimir Putin and the Russians, and then if they don't get what they want, they'll take some more, and then they'll take some more. Still, it's like I said a month ago, I don't see this as a fight for us. I see it's a NATO fight, and maybe we have some part of that, but we, with us bringing the lion's share of the military into theater, I'm not for it, not for it at all. By the way, we also gave you this story a couple weeks ago, and it's come back up. Fox News had it, said U.S. Navy announced today that three of its P-8A spy planes experienced, love this quote here, unprofessional intercepts by Russian aircraft, end quote. Unprofessional intercepts by Russian aircraft while flying over the Med last weekend. Said U.S. flight crews were flying in international airspace over the Mediterranean Sea at the time of these intercepts. We have made our concerns known to Russian officials through diplomatic channels, said U.S. Navy Captain Mike Kafka in a statement. While no one was hurt, interactions such as these could result in miscalculations and mistakes that lead to more dangerous outcomes. Well, Navy Captain Kafka, I 100% agree with you. That scares them, as it did 2 weeks ago when this was happening over the North Atlantic. That worries me as well. All right, get some more of your text and commentary when we return. News is next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Get to your text here in just a second. I want y'all to say hello to my buddy David McCrary, LCM Motor Cars. And inventory is always y'all's, it's the cream of the crop y'all get. And y'all get inventory right here, but you get inventory far and wide as well.
We do get inventory from all over the place. I can tell you right now, I'm in Texas, and we're fixing to jump on a plane and fly back. And I went to a sale out here looking at some commercial stuff, bucket trucks and whatnot. That is one thing that's untouchable right now. So if you find your bucket truck for a decent amount of money, you need to go ahead and buy it. But the stuff that we've got, the normal stuff, the sedans and the SUVs and the trucks and four-wheel drives, we've got plenty of those in stock, got a better inventory than we've had in a long time.
What are the money folks saying? How's lending? How's financing?
Nothing's changed on our end. Everybody's talking about it everywhere, but the people that I deal with, they're all staying steady. So we're happy with that.
Yeah, but all of us are. That is great news. Tell folks how to come out, check out the inventory, and talk financing.
We're on the corner of Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. You can give us a call at 251-375-0068 or go to our website, lcmmotorcars.com.
Thanks. Check back soon.
Have a good show.
Hey, you too. There's Dave McCrary checking in from LCM Motor Cars. All right, let's check in on some of these texts at 343-0106. Also, our phone number, 251-343-0106. And with the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can text us straight from the app or call us from the app or leave us one of those talkback messages we can play back on the air. All right. Da, 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 da. That's the noise I make as I'm scrolling and I'm scrolling and I'm scrolling. Thank you. David earlier said it was so nice and magnanimous of you to voluntarily give up your catalytic converter for that needy family. Well, that's the only reason, David, right? If somebody came and stole the catalytic converter from the FM Talk 106.5 mobile command unit, studio on wheels, the big Sprinter van, it must be a needy family in town that needed it more than we did. That's the only reason I would say you would do that. Mr. Valentine. Now, Mr. Valentine, do you know how much chomping at the bit I have done as I've been on the IR for, what, the end of last week and beginning of this week? Because Mr. Valentine says, traffic cameras coming for Mobile. Ben Reynolds, the only good man voting against. Revenue stream for the private sector. Rear-end collisions will go up. More Big Brother. Let's find the Achilles heel of this, Mr. Valentine, and you nailed it. The private sector portion. And I am the biggest private sector person when it comes to what the private sector is supposed to be in. But that small slice of the world that's supposed to be government, when the private sector gets in it, not digging it. Do you remember when they were going to put the speeding cam on the connector, right? The 165 connector? And I was like, it's ridiculous. It's the same way I feel about private prisons. That's not private companies building prisons like was talked about here in Alabama. That's private companies running prisons. You get a perverse incentive for people to lobby politicians to make laws change, not for public safety, but for profit. And Mr. Valentine, I'm with you. We'll continue to talk. I am not a fan of the red light cameras, and I know a bunch of people. Well, if you aren't doing anything wrong, it's a little bit more complex than that. But we will. When we have more time, we'll talk about it. So thanks for bringing it up. Leo says Americans don't care about the Ukraine. And before you correct me, that's what he wrote. I know Ukraine, not the Ukraine. It's Europe's problem, not ours. Biden would gladly start a war for political reasons only. I would hope not, Leo, but does seem like there's a lot of confused rhetoric here. I think it takes two to tango. And the Soviets, the Russians under Putin, they want to expand, right? They want that Lebensraum. They want to expand, and they're gonna come in and say that they're rescuing people that are truly ethnic Russians that are living in Ukraine that just want to be Russian again. That will be part of the discussion. Lisa in Robertsdale, do you guys remember back when we had to get under our I guess desks just as a drill back in elementary school in the early 80s? Yes. I do. Natalie, Lisa, we've talked about that on the air a couple times. It's, remember when we would do that, you get under your desk. The question is how that helps you from a thermonuclear explosion. I do want to point out, even though this is not the Soviet Union, it's Russia, they have nukes. We're talking about a nuclear power. This is not some police action in a third world country. This is as sharp as a blade gets and seasoned, Vladimir Putin, with a substantial conventional army and nuclear weapons. Grant thinks he's going to get in the black market business of catalytic converters and baby formula. Grant, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I was talking to a great officer from Mobile Police Department, came out to do the report. And I suggested to the officer, I asked, do you think it would be better if I lowered this vehicle? Remember my theory here, the only people, and I hate it for you if I'm going to hurt your feelings, but if you're somebody who's lowered your truck, you know what I'm talking about, like the too low for you written on the back of it or whatever, I've made fun of you for decades because I'm, what the wife called me, a utilitarian. If it doesn't have a real purpose, you don't like it. Okay. I've never understood that. For the super lowered truck until now, and y'all will laugh last. I am now 180 on that. People with lowered trucks, I get it. You've been protecting your catalytic converters all this time. So I'm thinking maybe the FM Talk 106.5 command unit, we'll get it too low for you, low enough for you written on the back, something like that. And we'll go cruising through the grocery store parking lot and not be able to go over the speed bumps. Thank you. Aiden in Citronelle, where's Maverick when we need him? Well, see, we were inverted. Great scene. And if y'all are checking in the studio, got calls coming through. Bob says, I can't buy ammo anymore because our gas prices have gone up. Is that considered transitory? Yeah, no joke. Tony, we've been going through that with the Russians for a long time. Unprofessional intercepts. Why don't we shoot some of them SOBs down? I tell you why, because they've got nukes and we've got nukes, huh? Yeah, okay, Jace is on it. But did our guys fly upside, flip upside, wave, and take Russian pilots' photos? You can tell we're all in the same generation. We all got the same movie in our head. But go to let me go to JD in Mobile quickly here. JD, you're up first.
I'm just wondering, if the running red lights are so important, and everything. I wonder how many tickets have been written. You know, if they're going to install cameras, how many tickets have been written?
I don't know. I don't have the
putting up cameras.
I want enforcement. I want, officers see somebody run a red light. I come in here complaining about ridiculous people running red lights out here on the service road all the time. It's dangerous. It leads, but there's a difference between wanting to enforce the law and letting a private business get in to making profit off of public safety. It's not good.
I agree. I'm just saying. I wonder. I'm trying to justify it.
Because people,
how many tickets have been written?
I don't know. I can ask.
If I can't do the police work, for riding speeding ticket. I mean, running red lights. Well, I understand, putting up red light cameras. But I mean, they're just gonna put up red light cameras, and then they won't, have to worry about writing tickets. How many tickets have been written?
Yeah, I don't know that number, but JD, I'll look into that. And see what that number is. Believe me, because I'll get the text here. You must want people to be, T-boned, and they'll send me some story about a horrible wreck. I've been hit. Somebody running through a stop sign. I've been hit. I have a 16-year-old child on the road. You think I don't think about everything public safety every time she leaves the house? You're damn right I do. At the same time, that's emotion, taking over a discussion about what we should have private sector involved in. It's always tempting because, revenue is good and we don't have to pay for the cameras and they'll do this, that, and the other. I am the biggest proponent of private sector. Heck, that's what I do. Small business. Small business is going to have to figure out how to pay for a new catalytic converter for a station vehicle. I mean, I'm the definition of that. But saying that profit incentive needs to be in public safety or even in the penal system is wrong. It's wrong. All right. Bob is in Saraland. Hey, Bob.
Hey. I came from Phoenix, who took down the red light cameras because us wonderful citizens found too many ways around them.
How'd you do that?
Well, they mail you the ticket. mail is not legal service, so if you put it in file 13, they have nothing to do. For the people who actually respond to it or, you know, don't want to do that, we had a lot of couples where the husband's car was in the wife's name, the wife's car was in the husband's name, and you just send them a picture of your driver's license. It's not me. They can't require you to tell them who it is. And for those of us that just really want to give them the middle finger, I used to wear a Ronald Reagan mask when I drove.
Well done. Thank you, Bob. I appreciate it. Let's go to Dave in Foley next. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Sean. Two things real quick. To protect your catalytic converter, you could consider the Carolina squat.
I'm not enough with you. We're not Carolina squatting the van.
Red lights.
The thing
it
is,
all becomes moot if they pass this thing to give everybody back their license because they don't pay the fine.
That's right. I could run red lights and then not have to pay my fines. Good point. Nice way of bringing everything together. But I still think if we Carolina squatted the van, they could still come in from the bow there and come underneath and get that converter.
They probably could, but I wanted to poke at you a little bit.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you taking joy in my loss. I appreciate it, Dave. One of the things I think is trending that could help us. Number one, lowering our vehicles to make them all look like mini truckers, right? And write low enough for ya on the back or too low for you with the letter U on the back. And number two is the fact that, you know, we're just porkers in this country and we're just getting fatter and fatter. And there'll be a point when the average American will be too fat to get underneath the vehicle and steal your catalytic converter. So... Oh, the Mariner said the dope heads are skinny. Well, but the rest of the people, if they stay off drugs, they'll be too fat to steal your catalytic. Well, now there we go. You're probably right, Mariner. All right, coming right back. Executive Director of Battleship Memorial Park, General Janet Cobb, joins us right here on Midday Mobile. And at 1 o'clock, some Marines are piling into studio. Scuttlebutt Radio Network at 1. Be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
12:52, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. This segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. That's my buddy Trey. Been doing it 14 years in Mobile and Baldwin County. You know the deal. You got junk around your house. I'm not telling anybody else, but you've got inaccessible rooms now or a garage. You know, garages used to be where you put a car. Garages, like you could put your car in there or your carport, like you put the car in there. Get rid of the junk before anybody else tells me you need to. And it's real easy, whether it be at your work, at a home you're getting ready to sell, a storage unit, wherever you got the junk, you want it gone. Use the people I've used at my home and with this radio station, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Make that appointment. Get them to come out. See what I've been talking about all these years. Get cleaned up here in 2022 with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. I want you all to say hello. Usually I'm on the fantail of the USS Alabama when I'm talking to the executive director of Battleship Memorial Park, General Janet Cobb. Now you're on my ship.
I am. I came out here early. I don't know a cat from a catalytic converter, but I came out early to crawl up under the van, take a look, and
General,
see what was missing.
Are y'all all going to pile on me today?
No, I feel bad about it. I could have brought five or six. Probably the battleship probably had five or six catalytic converters back in the 40s, you think?
Yeah,
80 years ago today. Today's her birthday.
Is it really?
Yes, it is.
The big A's birthday.
That's right. Today's the day.
You know, we think about USS Alabama being here, but it was made
at Norfolk Naval Shipyard,
okay,
in Virginia, and sea trials in February, and then commissioning in August of 42.
Wow!
Yeah.
You think about the expedited process in 42 to have the Alabama ready to go.
30 months, 3,000 men and women working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, came in under budget. Her 1942 cost was $80 million.
Wow.
And that's well over, I've got the figure somewhere, you can extrapolate that.
I can only picture the sea trials, because I've talked to folks about doing sea trials on ships now. People are in the Navy now. They said, we go out and try to break them. Yeah, that's our joke. Like, we go out to try to see how hard we...
Yes.
He said, I mean, they run them like crazy.
Alabama did hers in the North Atlantic. We've got some video of that, actually. I don't know if it was a movie tone, but it was an old newsreel footage. It was an unnamed new fast battleship. Alabama was one of the last of the South Dakota class. And it shows her and the crew, and they're reacting to general quarters, and it is her, but it's unnamed in that particular newsreel, which kids find fascinating when they see footage of a newsreel camera. I love it.
Yeah, I think
it's
old school.
Cool. Yeah.
It's all that you can learn at the battleship, and happy birthday to the Big A. That's awesome.
Absolutely.
So about people want to come out and celebrate the birthday, and what's going on at Battleship Memorial Park?
I am happy to tell you that we have hired a young lady, a great resume, named Amy Rayleigh Ryan as our Director of Education Programs.
Okay.
Years ago, we had formal programming for education aboard the ship. You know, we have our great teachers in Alabama, up to about Montgomery, over in Florida, over in Mississippi. A lot of school field trips come, traditionally fourth grade in Alabama for Alabama history. But we're going to formalize the process. We'll be doing some all kind of education, historical, some STEM. She was in there working on Newton's law of motion and displacement and some things. So we'll have education for not only school groups coming in, but for our great scouts and our overnight program, which we will kick off again here pretty quickly. In the next probably late spring, we'll have our overnight folks back on board, our scouts, our JROTC.
You know how excited I am.
I know
you
are.
My scouts are excited, yes.
Yeah, so we're excited about that. So welcome to Amy, and she's doing a great job for us.
Hello, Amy.
Hello.
That's awesome to have her as part of it. Y'all reach out. I mean, reach out, because being the number one or number two, I don't want to get into that, tourist destination in the state of Alabama. You'll have people come from everywhere.
We do. We're the bookend to Space and Rocket Center, and you know the nature of what they do is a magnet. We have a lot of global visitors, but of course we love Space and Rocket Center. So probably pure numbers there, they usually always beat us.
I don't want to talk about that.
In recent years.
But you have people coming from everywhere, but then y'all continue to reach out to us here at home. That's what I like about these programs.
Right. That's right.
You know?
And I talked to a guy today, and this since January, it's been so... there have been so many opportunities to talk to people, and they say, you know, I've gone by here so many times. I said, and today was the day, and they say, today was the day that I wanted to stop and see this big ship.
I wonder if there's a study how many, I mean, growing up here, we just always, it was the battleship, but somebody who's from some other place,
sure,
how many times they have to pass it before they go, we're going today.
Today's the day. Great stuff happening. We're doing a Life at Sea series of talks. We've done the first two. Tomorrow, Dr. Peter Cash, who's with the Living History Crew, which LHC's this weekend, is going to talk about the North Atlantic campaign. And then a week from tomorrow, Chris Bryant, a retired Mobile County educator, who works for us part-time in maintenance and does a lot of our restoration, is going to talk about the anecdotes about Turret 3. There's some beautiful artwork, Varga Girl style artwork up on Turret 3.
Like,
and talk about the restoration so you can actually get up in there.
How do people come to these events you're talking about?
It's free with admission. They'll be in the ward room, and it'll be at 11 o'clock tomorrow and 11 o'clock next week.
Is that information on the Facebook page?
It is.
Okay, so y'all check that out, because you got to get out to these events. That is great. And then my favorite, Living History Drill. I go, my son and I go. I mean, I tell people every time I meet them, I'm like, you got to go do this.
That's right. The crew will come in. A lot of them report about midday on Friday, and they begin their reenactment activities. They berth overnight. Saturday, you always ask me a good time to get there, about 11, 11:30, because the activities, if the weather's permitting and mechanically they're able to, our friends with the Yak Attack will fly and attack the battleship.
That's so cool.
The Living History sailors will do deck drills, damage control drills, some medical things. They'll throw a kid in a Stokes litter and haul them off, and do a little crowd participation. So it's a great weekend, and the reenactors really enjoy it, and they do that till about noon on Sunday.
It's great for big kids, little kids. You have interest in the history. If you have children learning about World War II, Pacific Campaign, Atlantic Campaign too, I mean, put them aboard the Birthday Girl and
That's
the Big
right.
A, and let them see this.
That's right. Absolutely. It's always good to be here, Sean.
It's a pleasure to have you here, and next time we'll be on the beautiful fantail of the USS Alabama.
That's right. I'll bring a catalytic converter with me next time.
I can't keep it.
Yellow's my favorite color. Do they come in yellow?
What do you start with this?
Yeah.
Just needling. A yellow catalytic converter.
That's big bucks, brother. Good luck replacing that thing.
All right. I'm going to come down and get some scrap metal off the... You got something down in the Alabama we can get. All right, Scuttlebutt Radio Network. Those gentlemen... those Marines on the way in next.